being read this morning, didn't you? That was powerful. That was powerful. Good morning, everyone. My machine went away. I'm so sorry. How's everybody doing? Good. Glad to hear that. I'm glad you're here today, this beautiful June morning. It's absolutely gorgeous outside. Anybody having a picnic we can go to? Is this amazing? Very good. Very good. I have been excited about 2020. I've been excited not just for my own life, but the life of our church and your lives as well, of the breakthroughs that are going to be taking place here in 2020 and ways that God's going to bless all of us in a very special way. I'm very excited about that, about this year Jubilee that we're moving into, a year of liberty, freedom in so many ways. Very excited about that. We're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 7 here in a little bit, verse 7 through 11. We're going to start there. We're going to look at a lot of passages of Scripture today, and hopefully to get us launched into 2020 and some exciting things that are going to take place. There are many natural laws that God has put in place. In those 6 days when he created the earth, he put everything into place from the very beginning. Not since that time has anything new needed to happen except for the new creations that he has in us when we come to know him as Savior and Lord. And yet, since the beginning of time, he has put these laws into place that govern everything in this world, and it's orderly and it's predictable. Now, non-believers may look at those things and come up with their own ideas or thoughts, but if you trace things back, all of these principles and laws and teachings have always been there and will forever will be. And as believers, we know that God has and is the mastermind behind the miracles of chemistry, physics, planetary motion, the uniformity of nature, and the law of logic, just to name a few of these things. But God has been a designer and creator behind it all. But they've been developed for a purpose and a reason. And that is for his children to receive and accept a joyous, abundant life. And why is that? Why is it that an almighty God, all-powerful being, would put these things into place for our benefit? Well, one, he loves us. And we can say amen to that, but some of us, I know as believers, especially Christians, haven't fully come to grasp the fact that God loves them, that the Creator loves them so very much. I think the reason God has provided this is also for us to be able to share him with other people as well, people who are searching for hope. Because we live in a world where a lot of people are searching for hope and answers, right? Do you know how I know that? Because in the past 12 years, there have been over 25 superhero movies. And in the next 5 years, there's about to be 10 or 12 more. And then some people say, well, it's just the fascination with superheroes and capes and tights and all those kinds of things and all these weird powers and things like that. But I think it's more than that. I think people are looking for hope. Wouldn't you agree? People are desperate for hope, and they're looking for hope. And as much as Batman is so super cool, Jesus is our solution. He is our answer. He is our hope. And so people are looking for answers, and we have those answers. It's Jesus and a Father who loves them, a Jesus who continually pointed to his Father in heaven. I believe that we have this idea in Christendom that we have a God. You know, we have this picture. We have this picture that you have this big person with a big white beard who is God, and then a smaller person next to him being Jesus. So you have big God, and then you have little Jesus, and big God knows all of this stuff, and yet we have this concept that somehow God is sitting behind a big desk in heaven. And on his bulletin board are a bazillion post-it notes up there. All these requests from you and from you and from you and from you and from you. And all those things are up there, and God is up there deliberating between, And he looks down at Blair and he says, let's see. Blair wants this. Should I give it to him or not? I don't know. And then there's Dave, and as if God is sitting there at his desk and just looking at each and every one of us, wondering if I should be able to give this to them or not, and that kind of thing. And that's one view that we have of God. He has this big list. He's checking it twice. He's going to see if we're really naughty or nice. And that is a view, that is a worldview about who God is. Or could it be that since the beginning of time, before you and I even were, that God has put in place the laws and principles engaged by things like faith, belief, forgiveness, sowing and reaping, love, etc., in order to make our lives and the lives of all his people better? See, for the former, I don't see a biblical precedent. For the latter, I see that throughout Scripture. That God has put into place all the things that we need. As John talked about last week, John 10, verse 10, he came so that we might have life abundantly, life to the full, a life of joy. And I'm excited about what God is going to do in and through your life this coming year. And in my life as well. And week after week, as I get the opportunity and privilege to come up here, I'm going to prove to you through this book here, this scripture, that God is true to his word. Also excited every Sunday about the expectations that I have for you of major breakthroughs in your life and our life. But here's the thing, though. The decision is up to us. We play a role in that. Of truly believing that God is who he is and is true to his word, or we're just going to go our own way. Let me give you an example of that in our passage, Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, 7 through 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. See the assurance there from Jesus' own mouth? Who he and the Father are one, and always pointing to the Father. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For anyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who's knocking, the door will be open. And he says, which of you, if your son, your own child, asks for bread, will give him a stone? Who does that? Dad, I'm hungry. Here you go. Here's some crackers. Let me look on the car floor. Here's something. Grab this. We're going to give to our child something to fill their belly because we love our kids, right? This is yes. We love our children. Yes. Good. Okay. We just sent them all downstairs, so we love our kids. Or he who has a fish will give the kid a snake. If you then, though are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Notice there in verse 7, it says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. I believe, that one of the reasons why the world looks at the church as not mattering in their life, I believe the world looks at the church to see that it's not relevant, is because as believers, we stopped asking, and we have stopped seeking, and we have stopped knocking. And yet our God says, if you ask, it will be given to you. You seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. So that's how we're going to start off 2020. If you have in your chair with you a card, you'll find a card here. You have a card, or envelope, and inside the envelope is a blue card. And it talks about your year of Jubilee. We're going to get started. Now, some people have said, in talking about this, some people have said, Brian, there's so many things in 2020 I want to have more of, I want to do better in, I want to see change, I want to see less of, I want to grow in, get closer to. There's so many things. And that's good, and I'd encourage you to write those down and pray about those. But what I want to encourage you is to focus together, as we do the, move forward together as a family, to focus on just one of those things here. What it is in your life, as you look at all those things, all those 10, 15, 20 things you wish to see changed or do, out of all those things, what begins to surface to number one? Out of all those things, this right here, I like to see different. This right here, I want changed in my life. This right here, I need a miracle. What is that? Don't say it out loud. I would like for you to take some time, and during our the message time today, to write that down. Whatever that is, to write it down. And as you write it down, to place it back into your envelope. Put your name on the card and put it in the envelope. And write that down. And then I want you to seal the envelope. And then on the outside of the envelope, there's plenty of pens there. Write down the date a year from now. A year from now. And write that down. That we're taking time to ask, and we'll talk more about the writing down thing here in a little bit, to ask God what it is, to come before God this year of Jubilee and say, I want to see this in my life. I want this to be changed in my life, God. I want your help to get through this, to make a difference, and to write that down. And then, I want to encourage you to keep this close to your heart. Put it in your Bible. Put it at home. Put it up on the mirror in your bedroom or your bathroom. Put it someplace where you can see it on a regular basis that is always present, always there, all throughout the rest of the year. Do not give this to somebody else and say, hey, look what I'm going to have in 2020. Look what's going to take place in my life. Now, you can, with only a certain people, they're truly people that are there to encourage you and love you and support you. But don't give it to somebody who's going to say, seriously? You're hoping for that? Come on. Who hasn't wished for this and that? Come on. We have those people all the time. Remember, when Noah was building the ark? What are you doing that for? We have a world full of people who are skeptical, doubtful, critical. And we don't need that in our lives. And so take something like this that's very precious to you and hold it close to your heart. And if you share it with anybody, then share it with those few people who really believe in you and want what you want for your own life, okay? And so go ahead and any time begin doing that and then hold that together. And we're going to pray over those here in a little bit. And some may already be doubting. Well, you know what? I'm not sure about doing this. This is silly. You know, come on, I've been asking for this. You know, this hasn't happened in my life yet. I don't know. You know what? I respect you, love you, care for you, and such like that. But isn't it time in our life for us to really start believing that God is and all things are possible through Him? I've seen it in my own life. And some of you can relate to this as well. See, in our own life, when we feel like we're doing things God's way, and in spite of the challenges, in spite of the circumstances that might be trying to beat us down, we're just feeling this joyous, abundant life and moving along. But the moment in my life that I kind of get away from that stuff and get away from God's way, it seems when things begin to fall apart. Am I the only one? God's way works. It just does. God's plan works, and his desire for me is abundance and love and blessing and joy in my life because I'm his child, and so are you. But the first thing we want to do in getting going is to understand that this right here this book right here, God's Word, I can count on. Do you believe you can count on this? This is God's Word. And you know what? It's amazing. In the past year, I've been doing a lot of reading about original manuscripts, not to put you to sleep right now, but original manuscripts and ancient manuscripts and transcribers and all the history of how this text came together. And I have a book on the Council of Nicaea that's like that thick in my library. And you know, if you're having insomnia issues, it's a good book to help put you to sleep. But nonetheless, it's just full of information. And what really stands out to me, because we weren't there at that time, but in that world when the written word wasn't there, there are all kinds of beliefs, there are all kinds of attitudes, there are all kinds of teachings just swirling around. And for this book and for this teaching to rise through all of that stuff is a miracle in and of itself. It's powerful. And yet the words in it are incredible and powerful. We can trust it for our life. As our guidebook, as a way for God to communicate with us, to speak to our hearts. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Notice that phrase there. I love this. Which is indeed at work in you. Notice that? The Word of God is at work in you. How many people ever looked at a recipe book? Okay. Anybody read the keto recipe book lately? I've got 5 of them. And I've read through a lot of them, and yet it's good reading, but yet there's not a work being done in me with those books. It's a good read. I have detective novels and stuff and Batman comic books and things, and but yet Scripture teaches that this is at work in us. It's working in us. God's Word is doing something in us. What is it doing? Well, I think, first of all, is helping us to become more and more like Jesus. And you think about that. If you're growing as a believer more and more like Jesus, becoming more and more like Him in your walk as we go along the way, and we're all at different places and stages in that, as we're going along and becoming more and more like Jesus, who was close to His Father, who never did anything without His Father knowing or leading or guiding, and was in contact, wouldn't that life be a life of joy and a life of abundance and a life of peace? Amen, it would. And so it's working in us to become more and more like His Son, but also it's equipping us for our own purpose, for our own calling, our own passions, which we'll talk more about in this coming year. So it's working in us. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." So my life and living, all this is dependent upon what's coming out of the mouth of God. It's all connected. And so if I want a life that is abundant, a life that is growing, a life that is achieving, a life that is really full, then wouldn't I want to know what God has to say about it? I would. And in my life, when I was there going, yeah, God, you know, and everything you say, God, I just felt like my life was just moving in the right direction. But when I started going out on my own and thinking, hey, I'll get with you, God, when I get around to it, it seemed like in those times of my life, it was a lot more challenging and a lot harder. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, I love this. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. That's a whole nother sermon on its own. Joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And notice that last phrase. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It does not say that it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the mind. Notice that? It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It says it penetrates. And sometimes in our life, when we go, hey, you know what? I'm stuck in this particular addiction or whatever it might be, and I need to move away from it. All of a sudden, the problem with addiction is when we feel like we're trying to move away from it on our own, it pulls us right back. Anybody ever been there? You understand what I'm talking about? Why is it that people who want to kind of get from that keep coming back and coming back? Because when change happens, when people move off that place and change, it's kind of like something has to come in and cut and penetrate, and there's a time of pain and uncomfortableness in order for us to move off of something, a place we don't want to be, into a place that we know that God wants us to be. And that can be painful and that can be challenging. So as we look at these things and we consider these things for the coming year, that may be an easy road for you to get there. But oftentimes when we get from the place of where we are, where we know we won't want to be, but to the place where we know that God wants us to be, is often wrought with challenges and things that make us afraid. But that's why we all come together, right? And that's why we worship together. And we hear great songs that the worship team have put together to inspire us. And that's why we come together to hear through our communion time and through the preaching and the teaching that's here to help encourage us to get through and break through those fears and those challenges as well, so that we can move from this place to this place. And God's word is key in helping us to do that. God's word is reliable. And we need to study that. Study it and study it and study it and get into it. I will promise you that every week that as I prepare to get up here and share, I will be digging into the Word of God and dig and dig and dig and dig and dig. But as a people, I want to encourage you, don't just take the pastor's word for it. Don't just take what the teacher's word for it is. We all individually need to get into the Word and go and see if this, what this says is what this person is talking about. We just need to do that. Because that is what tradition and denominationalism and things like all about is what, hey, well, our preacher said this, our preacher said that, our preacher's really good at this, our preacher's really good at that. And that's all good and well. But God's Word is what we need to rely on. God's word is what we need to trust. And we need to be in it ourselves and grow and learn and develop in God's word. We just do and need to do that. And as we are going on this course, and such, if you say, Brian, I just have a hard time, you know, studying the word of God. I get into it, I get into Genesis and Exodus, and then I get into Leviticus. And then I really slow down in Numbers. Well, if that's something that you're having a challenge with, then talk with me about that. Talk with someone else about that. See what they're doing. But there's ways that we can get into the Word of God, and we'll talk more about ways of being able to do that together. But that is the key to where you're going. That's why I said it's up to you to make a choice. It's up to you to make a decision. And this is a part of it, God's Word. My role in this process together is that to be an encourager and supporter. That we don't just get up and speak and say, here you go. But yet, week after week, either personally or as a group, but together when we come together, is to encourage and support us in this journey to the thing that we are desiring to see in our life, the vision that we have in our own lives. That's what we're going to do. We're going to do that in person. We're going to do that through other communication. But I am here. I am here to be the champion, to come alongside of you, to be your biggest cheerleader and moving is where you want to be in your life and your walk with the Lord. God's desire for us, filling this out and seeing it fulfilled this coming year, comes down to really believing that God has your best interests at heart. That God loves you and cares for you. That is God's will for you. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Notice that there, from God's own mouth. God's word says this, plans to what? Prosper. That's a good thing, right? And that doesn't always mean financially, but to prosper. Not harm. That's kind of nice, right? Give hope. And in the future, it's all there. And God has plans. Wouldn't you like to discover what God's plan is for your life if you haven't already? Have you already figured that out? This is yes, this is no. How many people here, show of hands, like to know God's plan for them? All right, good. Good, fantastic. Because if you want to know, he will let you know. How do you discover what his plan is? Again, we need to get back to his word and dig and look in his word, and God will make it known. We need to, you might be saying, oh, there he goes again about church attendance. You know, just so you know a little bit about my heart, church to me is more than just attendance. Church to me is more than just a membership role. This church here has meant so much to me and my family over the years. So has blessed my mother, my father, my sisters, and my wife and I, and our children, our families. And for some of you, you know the blessing of that as well. We need one another in this journey together. We need one another to go through this life together. We need one another. And in that community of believers, we can find what it is our gifts, our talents, and our passions are as well. As we worship God, whether here or in other places, but most importantly, spending time with the Father who loves you. It's not just for Sunday morning. He wants to know you every single day. If you want to know his plans, the plans he has for you, he is not there behind a desk going, well, you know what? If you're really, really good, I might let you know. God is wanting, God desires to let you know. God desires to be with you. God desires to bless you. God desires to say, here's why I made you. That's his heart. But I know there's people out there who are skeptics who go, hey, you know what? You can't get people's hopes up. And you know who's saying that? It's not the world, it's Christians. It's Christian people who go to church. Now, don't get people all hyped up and thinking that all of a sudden they can have whatever they want to have, that God's some big Santa Claus. Well, that's the idea. He's not. But as much as a father and a mother loves their children, he has put into place all the things, and he says, don't put a fork into that outlet, but you can play over here and have a great time and great joy and great splendor. Do not put your hand down the garbage disposal because you'll get it chopped up, et cetera, et cetera. And we go, oh, God is such a killjoy. He doesn't want me to put my hand down the garbage disposal. Well, who does? Who wants their kid to put their hand down the garbage disposal? Nobody does. But God knows where all those dangers are and things like that. But we look at our world, looks at him as some killjoy. He's not a killjoy. He's just trying to protect us because he loves us. But over here, he's put all these things in place and all these things are there. And as he said to Adam and Eve, all these trees are for you, just not that one. And we know the end of the story, right? We know what happened. Matthew chapter 17, or 7, verse 7 through 11 says, once again, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to you, to those who ask him? Raise your hand if you answer this. Would you like... How many people here would like for your children or your grandchildren to be happy? Just a show of hands. Okay, good. Put them down. How many here would like for your children and grandchildren to be prosperous? Okay, all right. How many here would like for your children or grandchildren to be healed from a cold or a terminal disease? Okay, if that's getting tiring, switch hands. Would you like for your children or grandchildren to be free from addiction? Okay. Would you like for your children or grandchildren to have a strong marriage? Would you like for your children and grandchildren to live out their dreams? Then how can God want anything less for his children? How can he? He can't. And you see, God's laws work for everyone. God's laws work and principles are all in place for everyone to be blessed because we are all created in the image of God. There's just a great deal of many of people of his creation and his children who do not know him as God and do not know his son as Lord and Savior. They don't know yet. But yet all of these things have been put in place for us all because God loves us all. Some people say you can't be successful unless you know without God. Well, who says that? They're using the same God's laws and principles without knowing they're from God. Because these things that God has put into place works. It just does. And yet, we should bless and celebrate other people's success and blessings and not be envious, because we don't have to be envious because they apply to our lives. God has put all these things in place. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 25. Notice what it says. This is what the Lord says. If I have not made my covenant with day and night and established the laws of heaven and earth. He's talking about the laws, everything he's put into place. What goes up must what? Come down. The law of cause and effect. The law of restraint. The law of forgiveness. All these things God has put into place for all of us. And to receive the blessings of those things. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. Notice this. That you may be children of your Father in heaven. Notice he says, he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. And sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Folks, God's way works. And it's built in. And it's for us all to either continue to do things our way, or to do things his way. And we see this law, and that law being that when we ask, and when we believe, and we act, we receive. Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through 35. I'm going to read it with you. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Notice that she had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. That means by the Jewish law, she was unclean. And being unclean, you were not allowed to touch, and nor was anyone else allowed to touch you. That's what it meant to be unclean, until you became clean. She had been for 12 years. Can you imagine not having contact, not getting a hug or a handshake from somebody for 12 days? But she didn't have any contact with someone, anybody. Which, by the way, if you're, you know, psychology tells us and that people long for belonging. We long for touch in our lives, and yet she's been absent of that for 12 years. But she heard. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, what is it? I will be healed. So she already had the thought. She was already coming into town, heard that Jesus was coming through. She already had the thought, came out of her home where people knew, oh, she's unclean. Everybody knew she's unclean. And so she's coming out of her home because she heard that Jesus is walking through. She decided, I'm going to go to Jesus. I'm going to touch his cloak, because when I do so, I'll be healed. She made that up in her mind. She believed it. So much that she got out of her home, followed the crowd, broke through the crowd, and touched his cloak. Immediately after her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from all her suffering. Next slide. At once, Jesus realized that power had come out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? And notice the disciples and their response. You see the people crowding against you, and yet you ask, who touched me? Personally, I find that a little disrespectful, but nonetheless, that's what they did. But then they were disciples. They didn't know better yet. Okay, and they asked that question. Next slide. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And the woman, knowing that what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet. Notice, because immediately she had healing, came at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. She believed. She acted upon that belief. She walked out into the crowd where everybody thought she was unclean. What were people going to say? And yet the chance that she was taking to go up there, and if it had not worked out, if she had not had healing, she could have been stoned right there in the streets. But she determined, she knew in faith that God was going to heal her. And she acted on that faith and walked out with courage, touched his cloak, and she was healed. Believed, she acted, and received. Why sometimes we're not seeing major things and things, transformational things happen in our life? We got to ask ourselves a question: am I really believing? Am I really trusting? Am I really acting on this? And am I ready to receive it? That's a question for us all to answer. And so if you have your cards, just lift them up high. I'm going to pray for all of us right now as we go through this together. Just lift them up high. Father God, we just thank you so much for this year of Jubilee. We thank you so much for this year of liberty. And in faith, Father, we come with the things that are in our heart. There's so many things in our heart, but yet, Father, we come with this one, that we need you, God. We need you. We depend upon you. All of what you've put in place, everything that you've put within us, Father, everything is possible through you. And even what we hold in our hand is possible through you. And we are excited about the day that we receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.